Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. The headlines. Some COVID swabbing sites are reporting 25% positivity rates. Others across the country are 10% or higher. The HSE say following a recent surge in demand for testing, the COVID-19 testing centre just outside Donegal Town will have adjusted opening hours starting from tomorrow. Donegal TD is criticising what he says is the government's failure to provide Irish citizens vaccinated north of the border with EU digital COVID certificates. The Restaurants Association of Ireland says it expects timelines for indoor dining to be scrapped, and 1,138 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in the north in the last 24 hours. We'll have those stories in full and more, as well as sport with Kenny Harkin coming up within the next half hour. Back now to our main story, and some COVID swabbing sites across the country are reporting 25% positivity rates, and many others across the country are reporting 10% or upwards. HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid is warning the more widespread the coronavirus is in the community, the more it can break through to those who are even fully vaccinated. It's also been announced today that close contacts of someone with COVID-19 are expected to be given antigen tests to themselves at home instead of PCR ones from next week. They'll be asked to collect the tests at their local testing centre and take four in total over 10 days. The HSE says antigen testing is expected to begin next week as the demand for PCR tests is rising significantly. NPHET has been critical of antigen testing, but Niamh O'Byrne from the HSE says the ones they are using will be very reliable.
New kits are quite simple. They're nasal swabs, so they're not the nasopharyngeal swabs that happen when you go to a testing site today, which are a more invasive swab. So they tell us that the sensitivity level between it being delivered by a healthcare professional and the person themselves is practically identical. And so we're quite comfortable with that, that people will get used to them.
The HSE say that following a recent surge in the demand for COVID-19 testing, the Cleary Centre COVID-19 testing centre just outside Donegal Town will have adjusted opening hours starting from tomorrow. The centre will remain open for test appointments from 9.30 to 5pm Monday to Friday, apart from Wednesdays where it closes at 4. But the main change comes in regards to walk-in testing at the facility. The HSE say walk-in testing will only be available at the Donegal Town testing centre from 11am to 3pm now, due to the increased demands for tests in recent weeks. A Donegal TD is criticising what he says is the government's failure to provide Irish citizens vaccinated north of the border with EU digital COVID certs. Deputy Pat McLaughlin says for months he and colleagues have been saying that Irish citizens vaccinated in Northern Ireland must not be left behind, particularly as many of them live in border counties. However, he says despite assurances this would be addressed, the government has not implemented any protocols to include vaccinations across the border.
We were given assurances by the Minister for Transport, Eamon Ryan, that this would be resolved, that this would be available to Irish citizens all across the island. There's two issues here. One, for Irish citizens who are living in the north and who were vaccinated in the north, but there's also Irish citizens resident in the likes of Donegal who work in the north, some of them healthcare workers, who are being excluded from this. It's just completely unacceptable.
Do you know if the reason for this exclusion comes from the civil service in Dublin, or is this something that's being imposed from Brussels or elsewhere?
My understanding is the difficulty is in relation to data and attaining the data on those who are vaccinated through the NHS in the north. Now, for weeks, indeed months, the Irish government have known that this date of July 19th was coming. But what's happened is that they haven't made provision. What we're urgently asking for now is that the Minister for Health, particularly the Minister for Transport, would engage with their counterparts in the north and sort this out. There's talk of an international travel app where the relevant states would confirm that this person has been fully vaccinated. There's also, of course, the fact that the European Union, the authorities there, would recognise the vaccinations being provided to people in the north as being valid under their own rules. So there should be no problem here other than administration and sorting this out and the will to sort it out at government level. The big problem for me is that you have Irish citizens who are protected under the Good Friday Agreement who are now treated like second-class citizens. It's just not acceptable.
The Restaurants Association of Ireland says it expects time limits for indoor dining to be scrapped. Government officials and stakeholders from the hospitality sector will meet this evening to discuss the practicalities of reopening. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has more.
It's just 6 days until the day restaurants, cafes and bars hope they'll be able to open their doors and let people inside for the first time this year. Ministers meet tomorrow to approve the plans, aiming for Monday the 26th as the reopening date. But there's still a lot to be ironed out, and government officials will meet with industry representatives this evening. One of the items on the agenda, according to Adrian Cummins of the Restaurants Association of Ireland, is the scrapping of time limits on indoor dining.
Well, we expect that time limits will be taken out of the guidelines in line with the comments from the Chief Medical Officer and the Prime Minister already that there's no justification for time limits.
Also to be worked out is at what point customers will have to show their digital COVID certs to get access, as well as issues around social distancing and ventilation. The plans are contingent on President Michael D. Higgins signing the legislation allowing indoor dining for those with immunity into law, something stakeholders hope will happen today or tomorrow.
1,138 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in Northern Ireland in the last 24 hours. There has been one additional COVID-related death there as well. 118 patients are being treated for the disease in hospitals in the north, with six of those being in ICU. British government proposals to end prosecutions for troubles-related crimes have been strongly criticised by MLAs in the north. The Northern Assembly was recalled in order for politicians in Northern Ireland to demonstrate their opposition to the plans announced last week. Deputy First Minister Sinn Féin's Michelle O'Neill labelled the amnesty proposals as cynical.
The British state have nowhere else to turn, and rather to face up to their human rights obligations to victims, they are now poised to wreak havoc on the legal system here, rather than face up to the consequences of their dirty war. The legacy proposals to deny families any legal redress to justice is a statement of moral bankruptcy.
Leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, Doug Beattie, added his voice to the criticism of the British government's plans. He also questioned the Irish government's approach to legacy issues.
As I stand here and I can say and look at the British government and I say, you're wrong on this, your command paper is wrong, and absolutely support that command paper should be taken away and we'd redo it. If I can stand here and say that, I can't say that to the Irish government because they have produced nothing, no command paper.
The SDLP's Nicola Mallon dismissed claims by the UK government that this legislation would draw a line under the Troubles.
This plan from Number 10 to ban investigations, civil cases and fold the legacy inquest process to, quote, draw a line under the Troubles to enable the people of Northern Ireland to move forward, has done nothing more than devastate and re-traumatise survivors and the families of victims. It hasn't drawn a line. It has made the situation worse.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin discussed the British proposals on ending the Troubles-related prosecutions with the UK Prime Minister today. Boris Johnson stressed the current focus on criminal justice is not working for anyone. The British Prime Minister also says he looked forward to further engagement with the Irish government, along with Northern parties and others, on the UK plans. Donegal County Council's Regeneration and Development Team, in conjunction with GM Design Associates, has announced the opening of public consultation to hear the views of the local community on the draft Ballyshannon Regeneration Strategy and Action Plan. With more, here's Anya McGlinchey.
The plan will be on public display from today until Wednesday the 18th of August, as the public are invited to have their say on the future of Ballyshannon Town Centre. People can get involved by viewing the plan on the Donegal County Council's website and on the project website at futureballyshannon.com, emailing comments or questions, and by leaving comments on Ballyshannon Regeneration Strategy Facebook page. The Gaoirleach of Donegal Municipal District, Barry Sweeney, says the strategy and action plan is our opportunity to identify the key priorities and regeneration opportunities for Ballyshannon Town Centre up to 2040 and beyond.
A man was taken to hospital following an assault in Clonmany last Sunday. The man was assaulted in the Main Street area around 10:15 p.m. Gardaí believe the man was involved in a verbal altercation with a motorist before being punched by the driver, who then failed to remain at the scene. The man's injuries are not believed to be life-threatening. Garda Niall Maguire says investigations are progressing.
We've viewed CCTV and we've still got more CCTV to collect, so we're making progress in the investigation. But we believe so far that a verbal altercation took place between this male and the driver of a car, and the male driver subsequently punched the pedestrian. The driver drove off, did not remain at the scene, and the injured male was taken to hospital for treatment. His injuries are not life-threatening, and I suppose we want to get to the bottom of this and identify the suspect. We're appealing to anybody who was on the main street in Clonmany on Sunday night around that time, who may have witnessed the incident. And anyone that, again, as usual, and our inquiries, dash cams are quite helpful. If anybody had a dash cam, they can give it to the garage in Buncrana and they can contact them on 074 9320 540. And again, like all our appeals we're making today, the Garda confidential line 1-800-666-111.
Concerns have been raised over the Loch Mourne water supply in East Donegal. Upgrade works in the area are said to have stopped short of the pipe, which services the Lifford's Northern Municipal District from Loch Mourne, which Councillor Patrick McGowan claims is leading to a number of other issues, including water shortages and nighttime restrictions. He says the inadequate water supply for residents is simply not good enough.
The other three reservoirs, they're all full from Loch Mourne. It's the Loch Mourne reservoir that fills the other three. So when they go down, the council staff at night, when they come into Ballybuffet, Killygarden, Castlefin, the main line down the centre, they turn the pressure down there and not try and get some water to the Agri convoy and the Alt. They try to get the water up to them reservoirs at night. First of all, they can't get enough water up. And secondly, the main line, the water gets dirty as well. So it's just, no matter what they try and do, they're just fighting a losing battle and they're causing untold misery to the people that are on the reservoirs and the people on the main line. There's nobody happy. It's just simply not working. But the ironic thing is, every water engineer in Donegal is familiar with this major scheme, knows the solution. But they can't, like, I think this is going to be 4 or 5 kilometres of pipe, replacement pipes going to be done in the entire county this year. I'm very well, there's problems in Inishowen and a lot of other places. But, you know, we know the solution, and for a small investment, another 4 to 5 kilometres, well, it might look, there will always be pressure on water, but this would make a significant change and benefit for this area.
It's 12 minutes past 5. Sport with Kenny Harkin is coming up after this quick ad break.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in-store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
We're just coming up on a 5:15. That means it's time for Sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Daniel. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic Games, and former Football of the Year, James O'Donoghue, has left the Kerry Senior Football Panel. The news comes 5 days out from the Kingdom's Munster final date with Cork. O'Donoghue has not been part of any of Peter Keane's matchday squads so far this season. Well, Cork then includes 7 members of the recent All-Ireland Under-20 hurling title-winning side for tonight's Munster semi-final against Tipperary. The Premier are unchanged from their quarter-final victory against Waterford. There's a 7:30 start at Semple Stadium, with the winners progressing to face Limerick in the final next week. And there's also 2 semi-finals in the Leinster Under-20 hurling. Offaly, they make the trip to Parnell Park to face Dublin, while Tullamore is the venue for Galway against Kilkenny. Both of those last 4 clashes throw in at a 7:30. And there's semi-final action tonight in the Richie McGilliatt Cup, where Derry, they'll take on Sligo at 7:30. The other semi-final sees Meath hosting Down. That one will get underway at 7:15. In rugby, the entire Lions series with the Springboks will now be played in Cape Town. The risk of the Delta variant of COVID-19 has prevented the final 2 tests being played in Johannesburg. The series gets underway on Saturday, and Springbok captain Ciela Kolosi has been passed fit to start Saturday's test with the Lions. The flanker only rejoined the squad this week, having contacted COVID-19. Winger Makazola Mbappe and loosehead Ox Unchai only ended their periods of isolation yesterday, but they also start. Munster's Damien D'Alliant will start at the centre alongside Lucano Am. Moving on to Olympics news, the Tokyo 2020 Olympics is in doubt after the head of the organising committee refused to rule out a last-minute cancellation. Japan's capital is in a state of COVID emergency, and there's now 68 personnel involved in the games that have tested positive for the virus. But Olympics Athletes Commission Chair Kirsty Coventry says the athletes are not panicking.
If an athlete or member of the team within the village does test positive, then there are actions that are taken to ensure the safety. So yesterday when I was in the village, there was no concern from any athletes. They all were just sharing the excitement.
Moving on to soccer, and Celtic's road to what they'll hope will be a Champions League group stage begins tonight. Ange Postecoglou takes charge of his first competitive game, with Danish side Michelin visiting Parkhead. Kickoffs at 7:45. And Everton have confirmed they've suspended a first-team player pending an investigation. The news follows Premier League confirmation that an unnamed Premier League footballer has been arrested on suspicion of child sex offences. The 31-year-old man's been bailed while police continue to investigate. And Liverpool midfielder Marko Grujic has returned to Porto. The Serbian midfielder spent last season there on loan, making 39 appearances. His new deal is another loan with an obligation to buy for €9 million next summer. Here at home, the FAI and Bohemians will reveal attendance and ticket details today for their Conference League home leg with Dude Lang. It was announced yesterday that the game will be played next week at the Aviva Stadium. It's been reported that the attendance could be double that which attended last week's win over Stjarnan. Up in Scotland, Rangers, they'll have 17,000 fans at Ibrox for their opening Scottish Premiership match against Livingston. The decision comes following further discussions with the Scottish Government and local authorities. The club plans to have a full capacity crowd for the Champions League qualifier next month, in line with Scotland's plans to lift COVID restrictions. Finally, for this evening in boxing, British world heavyweight boxing champion Anthony Joshua's next title fight has been confirmed. He'll defend his WBA, IBF and WBO belts against Ukraine's Oleksandr Usyk at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on the 25th of September. That's all your sport for this evening. It's back to Daniel.
Thank you, Kenny. Back to news now, and an initial councillor believes that Irish Water's priority should be to ensure the peninsula is serviced by the Eddie Fullerton Pollen Dam above any other area. Currently, the dam is being used to supply the Letterkenny area, while reservoirs in Inishowen are said to be practically empty due to high demand, leaving many homeowners and businesses without water this week. Councillor Martin McDermott says it's imperative the utility establishes a backup supply from the Eddie Fullerton Dam.
There's been lots of issues with water over the, especially over the last week, particularly here in North Inishowen in the Clamanagh Carndonagh area, servicing a lot all of Clamanagh, Carndonagh, Mallon, Mallon Head, Glengarry, all that area. The reservoirs that are servicing those areas are practically empty, and there is no backup there in North Inishowen for water. And I think that Irish Water must immediately now put a backup from the Pollen Dam to North Inishowen to service those areas, so that when the water levels get so critically low, that we have a backup of water to service those areas. And that will only be needed for short periods of the year, particularly around the summertime. But I think it'll be only fair that that happens, especially when Irish Water took it upon themselves to take water from the Pollen Dam and feed other areas of the county as far as Letterkenny. I think it'll be just appropriate that they would make sure that our own peninsula is serviced first.
And it doesn't make sense that there is a supply there that isn't being tapped into, but rather being redirected to other areas, and many people being left without water as a result.
Absolutely. It's very, very unfair to parts of the peninsula. I mean, the Pollen Dam, as here in Inishowen, I think its first priority, and Irish Water's first priority, should be to make sure that all areas of Inishowen are serviced to the highest level first, and then if there is surplus water, that surplus water can go to our other areas. But it's very, very clear this year and other years that North Inishowen hasn't the capabilities to cover the amount of water that's needed, especially during the June, July and August period. So I think it's very, very important now that Irish Water do that, put that infrastructure in place and put it in place as quickly as possible.
And Ireland's finance minister says he is committed to Ireland's 12.5% corporate tax rate. Pascal Donoghue has opened a public consultation on new global rules that would set a minimum rate of 15%. It would also change the rules around where multinationals are taxed on their profits. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue says he'll be fighting Ireland's corner when it comes to keeping a lower tax rate.
But I just want to reiterate my complete commitment to standing over the 12.5% rate. I mean, I'm evidencing that by the fact that I've taken Ireland out of an agreement at this stage, because I don't believe the agreement that is there delivers the clarity that Ireland needs. So in addition to just looking to the future, I think it's important to look at what I've done now that shows the commitment that I have to protecting this race.
And damage has been caused to a fast food van in Downings. The van was broken into sometime between 4 a.m. and 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning last, with those responsible helping themselves as well to some food as they broke in. Garda Niall Maguire is appealing for more information.
It's believed that whoever gained entry to the van stole some of the contents and the food. They also damaged the van, the side door of the van, while entry was being gained. So the owner's out, obviously, the cost of the produce and the repairs to the van. And it's not nice having someone break into your property like that. So if anybody observed any activity in and around this fast food van, locals would know it there, and people in their holidays and stuff would know that this van is. Please contact the garage in Milford this time, 074-915-3060. So anybody that may have been in the area on Tuesday the 13th of July between 4 a.m. and 9 a.m. noticed anything suspicious, please contact the garage in Milford.
And finally, the weather, largely dry and fine this evening with spells of sunshine and light winds. Some low cloud and mist will linger along the north coast, and there's a chance of an isolated heavy shower developing in places. Warm and humid tonight with lowest temperatures of 14 to 17 degrees. And once again, the headlines on this Tuesday evening. Some COVID swabbing sites are reporting 25% positivity rates in the Republic of Ireland. The HSE say that following a recent surge in the demand for COVID-19 tests, the testing centre outside Donegal Town will have adjusted opening hours starting from tomorrow. A Donegal TD is criticising what he says is the government's failure to provide Irish citizens vaccinated north of the border with EU digital COVID certs. The Restaurants Association of Ireland says it expects time limits for indoor dining to be scrapped. 1,138 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in Northern Ireland in the last 24 hours, and the British government proposals to end prosecutions for Troubles-related crimes have been strongly criticised by MLAs in the North. That's all for the news for now. We'll have another update for you at 6 o'clock, but until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Tuesday evening, July the 20th. The death has taken place of Lila Malloy, née Maguire, Kilclooney, Portnew, and formerly of Donegal Town. Her remains will repose at her home from 7 p.m. this evening, Tuesday. Funeral from there on Thursday at 10:30 a.m, going to St. Connell's Church, Kilclooney, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with interment afterwards in the Old Abbey Cemetery, Donegal Town, at approximately 1:15 p.m. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has occurred in Folkestone, Kent, of Manus Boyle, formerly of Ilion, Arranmore Island. His remains will be transferred to Arranmore on the 5:30 p.m. ferry on Wednesday the 21st of July, and his remains will repose at St. Crone's Church, Arranmore, overnight. Funeral Mass on Thursday morning, the 22nd of July, at 11 a.m. in St. Crone's Church, Arranmore, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the RNLI, care of any family member, or Sean McGlynn, funeral director. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has occurred at the Donegal Hospice of PJ Sweeney, 48 McNeely Villas, Old Town, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass at 12 noon on Thursday in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with interment afterwards in Conmall Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Con McDade & Sons funeral director. The death has taken place of Charles Stewart, Flat Roof, 4 Dunfanaghy. His remains are reposing at his Lytt residence. Funeral service in St John's Church, Ballymore, tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to COPD Association, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral director. And the death has taken place of Nellie Carson, Drane Manor Cunningham. Her remains are reposing at her son Gordon Carson's home at Glen McQuinn, Letterkenny. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 p.m. for 2 o'clock funeral service at Raymockie Parish Church, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Lifford Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of Terence McClintock, funeral director. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted.